This album's celebrating an anniversary.
All right, you know what time it is. Hey, Sam,
hello,
what's up?
Hello.
Hey.
That was a nice little introduction there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's quite rare when you have the title of an album being a song on a different album.
Yeah. So that was Frank's Wild Years, which is the name of the album we're looking at today, but it actually wasn't on this particular album.
Yeah.
It was on a couple of albums before this called Swordfish Trombones.
Mm.
But today we are looking at Tom Waits and his ninth studio album, Frank's Wild Years, which was released in 1987, and it's turning 30.
Hey.
So, of course, Tom Waits, he's one of those musicians that's very hard to pin down or even describe.
But I think that's why people like him.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like him.
That's why I like him. He's just a man of mystery.
He's like a crazy uncle or something. Like, oh, hey, Tom.
He reminds me of the Joker in Batman.
Yeah, you were saying like you'd make a good Joker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Heath Ledger was influenced by Tom Waits and for that particular Joker character in The Dark Knight. Because when you just heard him in that track just there, his sort of gravelly, kind of quirky, jokery voice.
Yes.
It's quite unique. But his music moves all over the place. I mean, he goes from blues to country to jazz to spoken word, as you just heard there.
Yes.
And his voice is incredibly unique. It's kind of this gravelly, growly kind of vocal.
Let me weave you a story, child.
It's a bit like that, isn't it? Yeah. And when I hear him sing, I kind of picture him singing on a piano in a dingy dive bar in downtown LA or somewhere, like 3 a.m.
It's probably where he's been.
To an empty club. And it's like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously been on the whiskey or something. in fact, actually, critic Daniel Dershowitz described Waits' voice as sounding like it was soaked in a vat of bourbon, left hanging in the smokehouse for a few months, and then taken outside and run over with a car.
Well.
So there you go.
Poetry.
Poetry in motion. So his music career began as a doorman, actually, at a nightclub in San Diego.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
That's
kind of where he got his start.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was basically people like Bob Dylan and Howlin' Wolf and Louis Armstrong used to perform at this club that he was the doorman. And he then actually got his first paid gig as a musician from watching those people play. And he got like $6 or something to play at this club.
Because he sounds like a tough guy. And he actually is a tough guy.
Yeah.
Like, would you try and stare him down, try
no.
and get through a club if Tom Waits was on the door? No.
No chance.
he would be like, look, you've got to be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where
situation's under control.
You're not coming in here. Yeah. So that's where he kind of got his start. And he was watching those people like Louis Armstrong and Howlin' Wolf, who have quite similar voices to Tom Waits, where he developed this kind of idiosyncratic voice and this kind of unique performance style.
Mm.
So with that, he then moved to LA and became a regular on the club circuit there. And a singer-songwriter, he signed to Asylum Records, which was kind of the label that a lot of LA singer-songwriters were signed to, like Joni Mitchell, Carole King, those sorts of people. And with this, he released 6 studio albums in the 1970s, which were kind of mainly jazz-based, blues-based, and a mixture of spoken word tracks as well. And although not commercially successful, he became a bit of a cult figure in the Californian music scene, especially. He also did a lot of acting during this time as well. He's acted in various movies.
He's very talented.
Across multiple disciplines.
Obviously, he's got presence just as a performer in general, but as an actor, he's really impressive. Like, I've always enjoyed his work.
So when he hasn't been making music, he's usually been acting and vice versa. And he did a bit of theatre as well. So by the 1980s, he changed record labels. He moved to Island Records. And with this, his music actually started to become more experimental, more eclectic, more wild, if you like. If you've listened to albums like Swordfish Trombones and Rain Dogs, which were the 2 albums before Frank's Wild Years, you'll know what I mean by this. They're very kind of out there, very experimental. And this pretty much set the stage for Frank's Wild Years in 1987. The idea behind this album is that it was initially based on a musical that Waits and his wife had written, which ran in theatres in 1986, which Waits was the lead character. And his acting career was at its peak during this time, and the songs here were basically the soundtrack to this play, which was called Frank's Wild Years.
Mm.
So musically, a lot of these tracks are quite theatrical, kind of designed for like theatre performances and that kind of thing. But as I was saying, it's also very experimental. It's quite eclectic. So here there's everything from jazz to soul to blues.
But it always tells a story.
Tells a story. His lyrics are very vivid and real kind of thing. Very descriptive.
The narrative is alive.
It is very alive. Yeah. And almost Tom Waits is like this character in the song.
Yes.
And he's like telling the story.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and also on this album he has a full band of session players as well, including a massive horn section. A lot of these tracks have horns on them. So...
gotta love that brass.
You gotta have a bit of brass in there, yeah. So on this, the first track we're going to play is the opening track, and it's called Hang On St. Christopher. And this has a very jazzy feel to it, with a kind of New Orleans sounding horn section. And it's quite experimental rhythmically and melodically, as most of this album is. So yeah, enjoy.
That was good.
Yeah, Hang On St. Christopher. Very kind of New Orleans sounding, bluesy, jazzy track. Quite experimental. Yeah, really, really dig that one.
Yeah, hard.
All right, well, the next track we're going to play, we're going to continue on this experimental route with this next particular track. It's called Temptation, and this one's more bluesy, experimental bluesy. And on this track, he also changes his vocal style a bit. He goes for a more high-pitched falsetto growl, I would call it. Showing off his range vocally and that he could actually go up a notch when he needed to and go for those really high notes. So
Pushing it to the limit.
Thank you.
Sam's in the studio just wailing.
I'm just wailing.
He's like, yeah, okay. I'm just saying, we're only up to the second song. I feel exhausted just by like, whoa, like, where are you taking this, Tom?
You were saying that sounds like a woman crying.
Yeah, I know it's a man, but it sounds like a woman crying. And it sounds like a woman crying in front of a burning house.
It is a bit like that, eh?
Like yeah. There's a massive tragedy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've got a hyperactive imagination.
I get that completely. Well, that's Tom Waits for you. His albums are pretty wild.
Yes.
They kind of, it's a wild ride listening to a Tom Waits album. You go through many states of kind of
Inebriation,
confusion, what the fuck kind of moments.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue with that kind of thing on the next track with yet another stylistic change of direction. This track's called Innocent When You're Dreaming. And here he pretty much goes full-on British music hall / vaudeville.
Bloody intellectual gymnastics.
And, this is a very, very theatrical track, probably the most theatrical track on the entire album. He sounds very operatic here. And, I can just picture this in a music hall setting in the United Kingdom back in the kind of 19th century or something. It's got that kind of feel to it. Yeah.
Right. By the way, this is 95 BFM, and you're listening to Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith.
Thank you.
Love I talking about free. Love do it is on the moon. Where are the arms that held me and pledged to love? You're innocent. its memories that I'm stealing. But you're innocent when you dream. When you dream, you're innocent. When you dream, when you dream, you're innocent. When you dream.
I don't know where we're going to go next.
Well,
you know, I felt like that was a demented circus.
Yep.
And I liked it.
There's clowns coming out with demented looks on their faces.
Yeah, but like they're drunk. So
they're drunk
and
clowns.
You're drunk. And we're all.
And Tom Waits
is clearly
drunk.
It's the end of the
night.
And he's just in control of everyone, really.
He's
at
like
the party.
A mind control on.
Yeah, I'm just imagining like a hypothetical
situation.
Here, people.
But it's got that feel to it.
It feels like that.
So
I'm actually scared of clowns.
A lot of people are scared of clowns. Remember last year they had.
But I respect the profession.
Oh yeah, but in the
support
United
your local.
Remember
clowns.
When there were like people, clowns coming out and like attacking people in the States last year?
Yeah.
And they had to ban.
And
like,
there were all these professional clowns who were like really gutted
because they were like business was going out.
Well, but also you know people were already scared of clowns, and then they actually made them like these crazy psychos made them even scarier. It's like someone dressing up as Santa and being like, "Hi!" Like,
yeah,
just ruins everything.
I know, bloody hell. All
but right. Santa's real, so who am I kidding? Anyway,
The next track we're going to play is one of his Waits' best known tracks from the 1980s. It's called "Way Down in the Hole," and again, this is a nice bluesy. Sounding number, which Waits is very good at doing. His voice just lends itself so well to the blues. I guess it's because of that Howlin' Wolf like gravel he's got going on, and I guess how he was exposed to a lot of blues musicians when he was, you know, working the door on that club in San Diego. I know there's a story that one of the reasons that made him get into the music business was he was at I think it was a Lightning Hopkins show, and. Lightning Hopkins had a door to his dressing room that said, "This room is for artists only. Keep out," in big letters. And Tom Waits saw that and was like, "I want to be a musician because I want a door like that with a sign saying, 'Keep out. This is for musicians only.'" He's very much influenced by the blues. And he could have been a fully fledged blues singer, I guess, in another life.
Watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. I just love how a lot of the instruments on this record are played so unorthodoxly. Like, they're out of tune. They're just, you know, playing all sorts of stuff. There's no kind of set pattern here.
No.
It's great. Great.
Weren't the 80s just fabulous?
They were fabulous.
Fabulous.
You know, and with time, I think we appreciate the 80s more and more as time goes by.
Yes, we do. And there was just so many different facets, really.
So many different styles, so many different fashions, so many different quirky, crazy people.
Thanks, Tom.
That these days you probably were like, you wouldn't get away with, but
yeah. Well, it's still relevant today.
Oh, very much so.
After 30 years, so I love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've had four different tracks, completely different tracks so far. So we're going to have another completely different track
from the same album.
From the same album, from the same artist. He just squeezes every style he can physically possible squeeze onto this record.
But it's noticeably like, and I don't mean to sound like I'm a marketing expert, but on brand, you know, like same type of feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But different genres.
Yeah, definitely.
Or explorations of genres.
Because remember, these tracks were written for the musical, so it kind of would have fit with the story of the musical. Frank's Wild Years was the story.
Yes.
So the next track we're going to play here is called Straight to the Top. And on this one, he sounds very much like Frank Sinatra. It's got a kind of swinger...
Croony
kind of vibe to it. He sounds very much like Frank on here. That's what makes his album so fun to listen to, is that he's just all over the place. Every track is different.
I'm going straight to the top. Whoa. tomorrow I found you straight to the top. I'm going up where the air is fresh and clean. I know I'm never gonna stop until I know I'm wild and free. Hey, I'm going straight up to the top. And if you know me, you know what I mean. I can't let old Mr. Sorrow try and pull me down. I'll live for tomorrow.
Listen to that band, yeah. Stunning. How about that band?
Frank Waits. We should rename him.
Frank Waits.
Frankie Waits.
Waits Sinatra.
Waits Sinatra. That's a cool name.
Tom Sinatra?
Tom Sinatra?
Sorry. Yeah, so we took it to the lounge. Where are we going next?
Well, we're going to talk firstly just briefly.
Oh, yes.
We're going to finish soon.
Oh.
Because we're at that point. So just looking a bit at how this... Oh, do you want to go on?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
That's all good. I think people need a bit, of, just a, like a couple of minutes to take a breath.
Yeah, we're going to take a little breather, a little jazz break.
A jazz break. Go get a cocktail.
Oh, my gosh. We'll be back soon with the last installment of Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith, looking at Tom Waits.
Thank you.
Hey, can you hear that?
Street music, laughter, cups clinking.
It's coming from down this rabbit hole. Come on, let's go!
It's coming from K Road, dude.
Sorry, I've terrible directional hearing.
A little help? 95BFM and the K Road Business Association presents First Thursdays. Head down the rabbit hole for the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Bring your own cup for a St. Kevin's Arcade Tea Party, rummage for treasures at the Twice as Nice Market and Zine Fair, and much, much more. First Thursdays, 6 till 9pm, July 6th. Find out more at Facebook or at kroad.com.
Man, my feet are freezing.
Warm them up farm style. Step into a fresh cow pat. Toasty as.
Yeah, I don't think that works so well here in the office.
Why?
Seriously? Well, for starters, you heated that up in the shared microwave.
Find your perfect feet warmers from a huge range of Doc Martens, Converse, Clarks, Vans, and more at Pat Menzies Shoes. Now warming your toes with two stores, St. Kevin's Arcade, 183 K Road, and Canterbury Arcade, 174 Queen Street, or online at patmenziesshoes.co.nz.
Please step into the Carbotrod.
Come on, Karma. An easy one this time. Comfortable, white, sure family.
What the? I'm a cola nut. This is Sierra Leone. What's going...
Oh, wow. I've never been so ethically handled.
Wait, is this the Karma Cola Factory? Okay, good. So now I'm being muddled into a refreshing cocktail at this shabby but on-trend neighbourhood eatery for her?
So then I punched that Nazi in the face. Here, I remixed it.
So woke, babe.
Thank you, Karma.
Karma Cola, drink no evil.
At last, the filthy, filthy truth can be told. Reaching beyond the reaches of time and taste. Beyond Dirtbag, every Monday. This is the show you've heard so much about. The show those establishment latte liberal vapors tried to stop. Ripping off the twisted lid of local and international grunge, punk and garage, where the pleasantries know bounds.
Hello.
Piss off with your mild-mannered sensibilities. This is Dirtbag Radio.
Dirtbag Radio with Radley, Sam and Tam. Three full-on dirtbags that won't give you Legionnaire's disease. Monday 7 to 9 on 95 BFM.
That's right, it is. My name's Geneva, this is Morning Glory, and I'm here with Sam Smith doing anniversary albums.
Hello, how's it going?
We're about to do our last installment of Tom Waits, Frank's Wild Years.
All right, so just looking at how this album was received at the time and just, I guess, its wider legacy. So the album came out. It wasn't a commercial success at all. I mean, most of Tom Waits' albums weren't commercially successful. It was very well received by the critics, though. Rolling Stone magazine summed up the album's styles by saying, "This is everything from sleazy strip show blues to cheesy waltzes to superlicious lounge lizardry."
Sorry, what?
Do you want to say that again?
Superlicious lounge lizardry.
Yeah, yeah. Everything from sleazy strip show blues to cheesy waltzes to superlicious lounge lizardry.
Can't take it.
Isn't that great?
I can't take it.
That's like one of the best descriptions of an album I've ever heard.
Super
delicious lounge lizardry.
Lizardry.
He is a bit of a lizard in a positive way.
A lounge lizard.
A lounge lizard, yeah.
Sorry, all right, yes. Go on. I'm hysterical.
Yeah, I mean... sorry.
Okay, yeah.
But I guess they're referring to the fact that on here, his arrangements are just... all over the place. He's got horns, he's got the drums, the banjo, the accordion, the carnival organ. And I guess it's the best, yeah, I mean, everything he does, it's just like, how can you describe that? It's just undescribable. But the Rolling Stone magazine just did a very good job of describing.
Yes, they did.
What is quite undescribable music. So the album...
It seems like anyone who talks about Tom Waits like on a critical review level seems to just come up with their own like prose, you know? Like they're like, oh, I'll just write a poem then.
Yeah,
you know,
superlicious like, lounge lizardry.
Obviously, they're very inspired, which is nice.
Yeah. He is a bit of a critic's favourite. Critics love Tom Waits, and even though he wasn't really commercially successful, he's always been championed by... He's a bit of a cult figure.
Yeah.
You know, there's a loyal fan base with Tom Waits, everyone I've noticed who discovers him is immediately struck by him, and they instantly become a fan, I've
also,
noticed.
Might I say, on the cover of this particular album, he looks like quite a babe as well.
Yeah, he's got his accordion.
Not that looks like matter in that sense, but... Yeah. He looks very dashing.
Yeah. I mean, now this album is considered one of his best albums from the 1980s, which was a bit of a creative peak for him. I mean, he had Rain Dogs, Swordfish Trombones, and Heart Attack and Vine, which were all also quite creative and critically well-received as well. And, he was on a massive creative streak at this time, which would continue into the 90s and into the 2000s. I mean, he hasn't made many bad albums, actually. If you go back right through his catalogue, not many albums are bad. He's usually quite consistent.
Yeah, he's one of the greats.
And I guess it's because he keeps his music interesting and experimental that he's always pushing the envelope of where he can go musically, and I guess this has contributed to his popularity and his longevity as an artist. Although he hasn't really done much in recent years, I'm not sure what he's doing. I mean, he doesn't tour. He hasn't released an album for 5 or 6 years. So,
he's a lizard.
I guess he doesn't.
He's a lizardry.
Yeah,
he waits.
He waits for the right moment, and he'll be back. Yeah,
he's probably just having a nice time, really.
Yeah, drinking cocktails.
Or just, you
listening
know,
Frank Sinatra.
Taking care of himself, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully he's in good health.
Yeah.
We
wish you all the health.
He was a bit of an alcoholic back in his day.
Really?
If you couldn't tell. So with that then, we're going to finish with the closing track on the record, and it's called Train Song. And this one is a bit of a slow ballad. We're going to take things down a notch here. Because he was a bit of a master of the slow ballad, you know, songs like Jersey Girl and all those beautiful tracks. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in on a holiday Monday.
This has been really enjoyable, this one.
Yeah, this has been great times. All right, this is Tom Waits with Train Song.
Thank you.
I broke down in East St. Louis, the Kansas City line, drunk up all of my money that I borrow every time, and I fell down at the Derby. The night's as black as a crow. It was a train. It took me away from here, but a train can bring me home. What made my dream so hollow? Standing at the depot, a steeple full of swallows that could never ring the bell. And I've come 10,000 miles away. Not one thing to show. It was a train that took me away from here. But a train can bring me home.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.